Game of Thrones. That's right, folks. We're back for another Game of Thrones episode because your geek history lesson on our best Kingsguard is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson. You may notice that suspiciously Jason Inman is not here, and that is because today we are returning to the grand tradition of Game of Thrones episodes where we bring in other guests. So I am joined for today's amazing discussion by the current Schmodown team champion, Editrix extraordinaire, and my Lord of the Rings soul sister, Rachel J. Cushing!
What an intro. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Every time we have fantasy, we like to bring Rachel on.
That's right.
And we like to nerd out together. This is going to be, like I said, a discussion episode. We've done histories in the past on various houses and on Jon Snow before we realized that that was a far too tall an order. And this lesson was actually recommended by two of our listeners, Manu Mishra and Glenn Shipley. So thank you so, so much. We're going to go over a really, really quick 10-cent origin. This is obviously based on the Song of Ice and Fire fantasy book series written by George R.R. Martin and adapted by HBO into an 8-season TV show called Game of Thrones after the first book, inspired by the real-life historical events of the War of the Roses. So if you're sad that there's no Game of Thrones books to read, there's a lot of historical fiction on the War of the Roses. Check that out. It is set in the fictional world of Westeros and deals with the Battle of the Seven Kingdoms for the ruler of the Iron Throne. And we have previously geek history lessons taught by myself, Jason Inman, and Nina Friel on Jon Snow, House Greyjoy, House Lannister, House Stark, and House Targaryen. So go check those out. Tell me I pronounced fictional characters' names wrong. And please note that at the time of this recording, Rachel and I have not seen any of season 8. So there's no spoilers here. And if we make predictions or say funny things, don't tell us we're wrong. All right, let's move into the meet cute. It's always the same. Rachel, where did you first meet Game of Thrones or A Song of Ice and Fire?
I was in my early 20s. I'm a huge, as you know, fantasy buff, and that includes a whole lot of literature that I grew up reading. And my younger cousin, who is not a big reader, recommended to me this new book, Game of Thrones, by George R.R. Martin. And the funny thing is, I started it, read about 100 pages, went, wow, this is dense. I was in college, and I put it aside. And I didn't go back to it. And then maybe about a year later, two other people recommended it to me separately. And I was like, oh, I did start that. And so I went back, and that first 100 pages was much easier the second time around. And then I didn't stop. And at the time, I believe 3 of the books were out. I know at least 2 of them were. And then I became one of those rabid A Song of Ice and Fire fans who would just, like, you know, sit and twiddle our thumbs waiting for George to write the next book. And as any fan knows, he started taking exponentially longer and longer in between each book. And there are only 5 of them out there. Luckily, the TV show came along to help us tide it over. And he's also written a lot of supplemental material, and I've devoured every last word of all of it. It's next to Tolkien, my favorite fantasy series. And I'm very excited for the last season of the show and very excited to talk about our personal Kingsguard today.
Nice. And just because this is always a fun question, Rachel, who's your favorite Game of Thrones character?
That's such a loaded question.
I know it is. And it tells so much about who you are.
I know.
I always say Jon Snow, but from the books, Jon Snow.
I say the exact same thing.
Nice.
And look, and I actually think Kit Harington has grown into the role in the last several seasons. Mm-hmm. I had some issues early on. I just didn't think he was quite talented enough to get the nuance right. And in the books, he is just this spectacularly well-written, well-rounded, interesting, thoughtful, but human character. And his POV chapters are some of my favorites. In the show, it's a toss-up, and these two are also favorite characters of mine in the book, is Jaime and Brienne. Mm-hmm. And just because I said them together does not mean I ship them. I do not. I just need to clarify. But I do think that their relationship is one of the most complicated, yet interesting, yet, you know, almost sort of aspirational relationships, because both of them go on really serious character arcs that I love, particularly Jamie. And yes, many of you out there are probably like my mother, who says, nope, there's no coming back from pushing a kid out a window. But I have to say that there is, because it's just fascinating to watch somebody start there and end where he is at this stage, both in the book and the show. And I think Nikolai Coster-Waldau is pretty spectacular.
And he has such a fun name to say.
Very true.
Okay, so I'm going to go over what our categories are, and then Rachel and I are going to dive into each of our choices and our whys. So the way this is going to break down is we are making up a very basic Kingsguard, which is going to have an actual member of the Kingsguard, like Jaime Lannister, for example, a non-knight character like Ned or the Hound, a child character, so basically anyone under like the age of 18, a magical creature that does not have to be from A Song of Ice and Fire, although I suspect perhaps one or more of them might be, one non-Game of Thrones character, so like Batman, Black Widow, James Bond, whatever strikes your fancy, and a wild card, anyone you like, someone in real life, who cares? And if you play by Jason Inman rules, you can have up to 3 wild cards. So we shall see. So, Rachel, when we were sending emails back and forth, I said that I was coming at this from the point of view of this is my Queen's Guard.
Sure.
And that you could do that as well, or you could set this up for another character. What was your POV going into building your King's Queen's Guard?
This is definitely a group of people that I would like to surround myself with. People
nice.
That I would trust to watch out for my back in various ways. And also, you know, just as a geek, being like, I'd like to meet these people in real life. So, yeah, that's the criteria for my picks.
I also want to say that because I hope someone draws fan art of these for us. It would be so cool. I'll send you a book if you do.
Nice.
Okay, so let's go with our first pick. An actual Kingsguard member, Rachel, who did you pick?
This was tough because when we were emailing about this, I said, can I dive into the histories?
And I said, yes, of course.
And of course, she said yes. And I said, thank you very much, because I did just very recently finished reading Fire and Blood. And I've read, like I've said, all the other supplemental histories that Martin has put out. And I narrowed it down to 2. And I think one of them might make my wild card. So I'll save that person. But for my King's Guard pick, who is actually a member of the Kingsguard, I have to go with Sir Arthur Dayne.
And who is that?
Arthur Dayne was a Kingsguard for Aerys II, who was the mad king that was overthrown.
The most fun king?
Something like that. The wildfire king. He was Rhaegar, the king's son's best friend, and he is basically considered to be the paragon of chivalry in that era of Westeros. He was a knight's knight, and he was loyal to almost a fault, and he also basically got to hold the coolest sword in all of A Song of Ice and Fire, in my opinion, a sword called Dawn. Yes, Valyrian steel is really cool, but Dawn is a whole other thing. The legend goes that a star fell on a river in the between Dorne and the Reach, and at that spot, House Dayne found it, created a sword out of it, and also founded their home called Starfall. And that sword has, rather than passed down from like son to son or generation to generation, a knight has to earn being able to wield Dawn.
Oh, so it's kind of a little Excalibur trope going on.
A little bit, you know? So it's if you are truly worthy if you get to wield Dawn, and you are considered a true knight, and you are called the Sword of the Morning. And it's just this really legendary, cool thing that I would chew off my left foot if it didn't pop up somehow in books at some point. Like, at this point, it doesn't seem to be going to impact the show. But, I mean, it's a very big thing because, as show watchers know, Arthur Dayne did show up in the show in a flashback. He was protecting the Tower of Joy when Ned Stark came looking for his sister Lyanna. And in the books, Arthur is with 2 other Kingsguard members, Oswald Went and Gerald Hightower. But in the show, I think there's 1 other person, and he's the focal point. And Ned brings a bunch of his friends, including Halwyn Reed, and he's like, I need to get in that tower. And Arthur says, I can't let you do that because I'm a sworn loyal to Rhaegar, who isn't here right now, to protect what's in that tower, a.k.a. Lyanna. And they fight, and Ned, with the help of Howland Reed, was able to kill Arthur Dayne. But it's not something he's proud of, because mm-hmm. Arthur was this paragon kind of a figure. But he's an absolutely legendary knight. Like, bar none. Jaime worshipped him. He did his whole list. His list in the Kingsguard book is just full of all kinds of accomplishments. And I mean, I really just can't think of anybody that could protect me better, especially with such a cool sword.
Nice. When I was making this pick, I found it very difficult because I wanted... There's a lot of Kingsguard members who are betrayers, you know?
In the show, they're a bunch of jerks for the most part.
For sure. But even when you go back and do some reading, like, there's a lot of betrayals, which is sort of part and parcel for the material that we're dealing with. Yep. And then I wanted someone who I thought would actually do a good job following a female leader. Mm-hmm. So I picked Stefan Darklyn, who was a member of... I'm going to butcher this name... Rhaenyra, thank you. Targaryen's first Lord Commander of her Queen's Guard. Uh-huh. He served originally under King Viserys I, and then during the events of Dance of Dragons, he flees from King's Landing, joins her on Dragonstone with her half-brother Aegon II, and they usurp the Iron Throne together. He also... is part of Rhaenyra's, I'm going to stumble over that name every single time. He's a big part of her coronation. There's too many vowels in it. I can't do it. And then he was a big part of working with the Dragon Riders. And I think that's very cool. And I feel like, particularly because we're going to be talking about magical creatures later, I wanted somebody who would not be frightened by magical creatures. And I feel like if you served in the time of Dragon Riders... and you were around when Jacarys was riding around, then you can probably deal with dire wolves or the weird giant deer or something else that's a little closer to the ground. And he was ultimately burned to death by the dragon, which is really, really tragic, but it's kind of a badass way to go out. And I just thought that he was a fun choice who was someone that I could pull from the books who I knew a little bit about because I don't want to populate my Queensguard entirely by characters from the TV show. And there's not a lot of characters who've served on Queensguards or served on Queensguards for very long. Mm-hmm. I actually considered putting Brienne here because she has worked for both of the Stark ladies.
And also she was part of the Rainbow Guard Renly. So yeah. I totally think she counts.
But per the criteria that were given to us by our listener, they have her listed as a non-knight. So I was well, I guess. Because I spent a minute trying to make my Queensguard all ladies. Mm-hmm. But I guess I want to be a little more inclusive. So Stefan Darklyn can hang out. He is also a character. And the House Darklyn has a lot of members that have served on the Kingsguard. There's like seven of them. Mm-hmm. They're all directly related to each other. They're a really interesting house that I would like to see more of in the 80,000 spinoff shows that we know are going to come at the end of season
Bring
8.
Bring them on.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff to mine. And I know that you certainly know that even better than I. Our second category is the non-knight, which obviously is nebulous because some of the suggestions, like I said, were Brienne or Ned Stark. I think Ned is technically a knight, if you ask me. He was a hand, which is like, do you count that as a Kingsguard? Who knows? So, Rachel, who is your non-knight character?
I actually found this one to be the hardest.
Interesting.
There's a lot of really cool decisions to be made. I've already said that Brienne is one of my favorite characters, so it's very tough not to pick her. But as I just said, I just finished reading Fire and Blood, and there is a... forgive my Boston, wicked cool character in Fire and Blood that I had to choose for this. Speaking of darks, this is Jonquil Dark, and it's a woman. She, similar to the theory that Lyanna dressed up as a knight to participate in the tourney of Harrenhal, Jonquil disguised herself to be a part of the Golden Wedding, which was a wedding in the early Targaryen years. They held this tournament to decide who was going to be members of the first Kingsguard ever. Mm-hmm. And she entered. And she kicked butt, but turned out to be a woman. So they were like, yeah, we're not really okay with this. Mm-hmm. But just thereafter, Queen Alysanne Targaryen, the wife of King Jaehaerys, often called the Conciliator or the Wise, generally considered to be probably the best Targaryen king to ever rule,
Not that there's a lot of competition for best Targaryen.
There's
king.
Lots of competition for worse. But he ruled a long time, and he co-ruled basically with his sister wife, Alysanne. And, you know, the kingdom sort of solidified into what it is based on their reign, because the two reigns prior to them were a little tumultuous. There was an attempt on Queen Alysanne's life, mm-hmm. and it was decided that she needed a protector, and Jon Kil Dark became her particular protector.
Oh.
And I really loved that idea. If you haven't read Fire and Blood, it's not quite as story driven as Game of Thrones. It's written as a history, but it has a lot of really cool stuff and really cool characters and just tidbits that you kind of also have to wonder if they're not going to inform the last two books in some way. Mm-hmm. So like, all of us fans are just like picking this thing apart, looking for like foreshadowing and other possibilities. But you're also reading it because there's just these like really cool tidbits that, you know, may have nothing to do with anything other than just fleshing out this world. And I thought that she was a really cool character to flesh that out. And so, yeah, I was like, yeah. And I was like, I'd like to get some females in the
this
group here. So
is that Jon Kil, like the flower?
J-O-N-Q-U-I-L.
Yeah, yeah. That's like a yellow flower that kind of looks like a daffodil. Okay. So I think that's I'm sure that's not an accidental choice, but maybe
probably
particularly
not
ironic naming her after something sort of sweet and delicate. And she
right.
turns out to be a real hard badass. Yeah, I love that. What a great pull. I am going to add my non-knight, who's a much more obvious choice, but also a very fun character who has said possibly the most famous line in all of Game of Thrones history. You know nothing, Jon Snow.
Love it.
Gotta go with Ygritte. I mean, I think a wildling would make my Queensguard very lively.
Mm-hmm.
She would bring a lot of fun and probably a lot of troublesome power dynamics to mm-hmm. any mission that we were going on or anything that actually needed to be accomplished. But I think she's one of the most accomplished and capable characters. And I think because she's very beautiful and because of the scene where Jon goes down on her, she's often relegated to this very sexualized role, which, while I'm not saying that you can't be sexualized and still capable, I think people often forget what Ygritte is really good at.
Yep.
She's a spear wife, which basically means that she don't need no man. She's a strong, independent woman. And she, I don't want to say she lowers herself to Jon, but she's way better than Jon. She's way more capable with Jon. And
yeah.
then in the book, when I felt like, which the TV show I don't think translated in the same way, when her relationship develops with Jon, she brings more to him than he brings to her. And she teaches him a lot.
Absolutely. She's part of his sort of like trajectory of like rapid growth in
mm-hmm.
understanding other cultures and understanding women and understanding people. And she's, you know, been through much more than he has and is that confident person because of all of that. So yeah, she's on a different level when they first meet. But I think he learns a ton from her.
I agree. I feel like over the course of their relationship, you can kind of see Aragorn has a very similar moment in Lord mm-hmm. of the Rings where you can see Jon accepting becoming the kind of man who's going to go on to be a king or going to go on to be a leader. Like,
yeah.
she teaches him how to kneel and he becomes better for it. And you can take that statement
mm-hmm.
any way you want. So, plus it's a Song of Fire and Ice universe, so you have to have a little bit of fire. So Ygritte, the lovely redheaded lady, is going to be my choice for my non-knight. Also because a wildling is about as far from a knight as I could possibly have chosen.
Very true.
Our third member of our respective Queen's Guards is a child. Because this is going to be a deeply complicated question. I would also love to know, Rachel, if there were any other characters that you considered before you came to your conclusion for this. Who's your child character?
This one felt, the next two felt a little bit more limited.
Mm-hmm.
It is sort of impossible not to say Arya.
Mm-hmm.
just being, you know, the journey that she goes on and the formidable set of skills she brings to the table once she's, you know, in the book she's still involved with the House of Black and White, but in the show she's learned what she learned and she's back. So for that reason, I kind of went with a really weirdly unconventional choice, and I'm going to say Bran.
Ooh, that is a very unconventional
yeah.
choice because he don't walk.
Exactly. So I was thinking along the lines of, while a traditional Kingsguard are made up of fighters, and that is, you know, perfectly understandable. But I would also like to think that, you know, maybe you have five fighters and you have a couple of people that are more about somebody like a Varys, you know, so get yourself a spy master, get yourself somebody who can look through the weirwood trees and know what's coming.
Someone with a lot of little birds.
Yes. You know, so like Bran with his, you know, three eyed raven powers happening here to me is somebody that, you know, once he's got it figured out, he's still, you know, on a steep learning curve with it all, can be somebody that can look into the past to get some answers, can look around, can, you know, maybe predict what's coming, and you know, and might be able to give me a heads up if my life might be in danger. So yeah, I want to go with that.
I think this category was very funny because at the beginning of Game of Thrones, you are kind of spoiled for choice. I mean, Jon is 14.
True.
Rob is 13 or 14. Like, they're all very young. I considered picking Rickon just for the fun of it because they did him so dirty, that poor little boy. I considered picking Gendry because I love Chris from Skins.
Sure.
And I think that's a character with a lot of potential that I keep hoping we're going to see more of. But since I didn't want to pick Arya because I felt like it was the most obvious choice,
I think we both decided not to go with the obvious choices on these.
Even though I think both of us would be like, F yeah, Arya can lead the Queen's Guard. We're here for it. I picked Lyanna Mormont.
The
little bear.
Yes.
Not least of all because she has one of the most amazing scenes in the show's history. But I feel like I could use her. This is going to sound, I guess, demeaning, but in a way that I don't mean it to. But I could use her as like a secretary or as like somebody to organize everyone that I need to and do a lot of my planning and my, to borrow a contemporary term, strategery. She's obviously a great organizer. Yeah. She's a great leader. And if as a child, she can get a bunch of giant men to follow her, that's someone that I want to delegate to make all the armies fall in line.
The title that comes to my mind is like chief of staff. Like,
yes, that's, you know, a better word.
Like, I would just like, yeah, like bark some orders and have a bunch of like old white bearded guys like, get in line and do what needs to be done.
Yeah, yes, ma'am, we're going to do exactly what you need. Yeah. I also feel like a Mormont, generally speaking, is a good person to have in your corner. There is a chance they might betray you, but if you can get their love and their dedication, you'll have them for life. And that's really, Starks are the same way.
Yeah.
And I think that can be difficult to come by. When you live in a world of Targaryens and Lannisters and Baratheons. So I thought she was a fun choice. And she's another character, like I said, about Gendry, who I keep hoping we'll see more about. And if we have to have sequels and prequels, and if we're going to die still watching a Song of Ice and Fire series, she's a character that I think there's a lot of fun things to be mined there. So Lyanna Mormont, I definitely had to have as my tiny little human.
I love the idea that she's an example of the show taking characters that are in the books and you know, pop up here or there, whatnot, and really expanding and turning them into fleshed out characters and standout characters. And she's definitely an example of that.
And the show also sometimes takes characters and completely sort of neuters them, like Sansa kind of enveloped that Jane Poole character, and which I understand why they did it, even though that's my least favorite season. Sometimes it works out for the better, and often I would say it works out for the worse.
He wrote those books to be unfilmable. Those were his words. He set out to make something that, because he had had some bad experiences on Hollywood, and he was basically like, F you, I'm going to create something that you'll never be able to put on the screen. 25 years later,
jokes on you.
And
HBO
exists. Kind of. But the show was never going to be able to be as complicated and as vast as the books, and to its detriment in some ways, but at the same time, it's still a hell of an accomplishment and what it did preserve from the books and what it did get right. And on occasion, fleshing out things that, you know, like, I mean, when you read the books, do you not picture Charles Dance as Tywin? Because I most definitely
do. Oh, man.
You know, so there's certain characters that are on the page but don't have POV chapters and are just sort of in the background, but in the show got to really come into their own.
I think Rob is a fantastic example of that.
Agreed.
And then when people try to say that he's a crummy character because he didn't get a POV chapter and they're not sad that he died.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert for something that happened like 20 years ago. I get really angry about that personally.
Agreed.
All right, magical creature time. I wanted to open this up and said it didn't have to be a Song of Ice and Fire magical creature because I do think it's kind of that can be kind of limiting sometimes.
Gotcha.
I did pick one from the series.
I did too. Mostly.
I was like, I bet Rachel was going to as well.
Yeah. I figured there were three options. And as much as I really, like, you know, dug into the depths of my brain and the material to pick some choices, I'm going dragon.
Are you?
This was the one where I was like, I think I need to go with the obvious one because I almost...
Did you pick a particular dragon or just the category of dragon?
Oh, I didn't pick a particular, but who would I want? Who would I want? Who would I want? It's tough not to say Beleriand, but I kind of want to, maybe Vhagar. I'll go Vhagar.
That's a good choice.
You know, one of the old school dragons, one that was ridden by a female Visenya. So, and a real beast of a dragon in his own right. Yeah, to me, I almost did a left turn. I almost went Kraken. Just for the like sheer like people going, what?
I love a Greyjoy, so I love that choice.
I like the idea. The problem is like I would have to be out on the water most of the time for that to be.
Are you not
really...
a water person?
Oh, I am. And you know, maybe I could be in like a port city, my seat or throne or whatnot. But to me, you know, what makes the Game of Thrones really, really cool are dragons and White Walkers and the juxtaposition. And I will say one of the things the show got once they had the money and they had the special effects
was
dragons are freaking awesome. I just love that.
In the first three seasons, the dragons are a little touch and go.
Yeah.
The puppets look really good. They look a little less good when they get more than like 3 feet big. But in especially when they're... taken down the wall. They just look incredible.
There was just in the later seasons, the attack on the ships in the harbor around Marine, and then the Battle of Fire caravan battle last season and whatnot, like Drogon just was kicking ass and taking names. So my one traditional obvious pick for my Kingsguard list is going to have to be a dragon.
Nice. Like I said, I also went with a Song of Ice and Fire character, but I had to go Direwolf because I very much identify as a Stark.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually picked Grey Wind.
Oh, cool.
Who is Rob's little doggy baby. Because most of the direwolves are dead at this point, which is very sad.
We're holding out hope for you, Nymeria.
Truly. hopefully you're just hiding in the woods somewhere. We got teased that you're coming back. Please come back. But Nymeria has been separated from Arya. And as far as we know, from other people for a long time. So I don't know. Because for this, I was picking a creature that I wanted to be more like a familiar.
Okay, I like that.
So I didn't know if Nymeria would necessarily be up for the task of following orders and taking names and doing what I might need her to do, whereas Grey Wind, I guess for lack of a better word, like served in a position and worked with Rob when Rob was building his King of the North campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like Grey Wind could give me a little more of what I'm looking for. And also, they did like Rickon. They did him so dirty.
Yeah,
it's so sad what happened. I also would love to see Nymeria back in the show because I just want a reconciliation between her and Ghost, just like we've all been waiting for, you know, Arya and Jon to reconcile. Mm-hmm. It would be like so sad.
Yeah.
But truly, I would love a whole army of direwolves. Just give them all to me. I will keep them alive. It'll be fine. They're giant dogs.
Nice.
All right. Winding down our lists, we are coming to our non-Song of Ice and Fire characters. It's basically a wild card, except these ones have to be fake. Rachel, who did you pick? What franchise and why?
So this was fun, and I think that there are a whole lot of really cool picks, especially in, you know, the superhero genre.
Mm-hmm.
And my head did go to, you know, I think I should have somebody with some sort of superpower. I think that because this pick lets us do that, and, you know, you want people around you that, you know, are especially strong or capable in an extra kind of way. but I was like, but what's a slightly left field version of that? And then I stumbled across it. My favorite television show of all time. Now, granted, Game of Thrones could take this spot depending on the final season,
sure,
but I can't count season or shows that haven't finished yet. But outside of that is Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Lovely.
So I think I want a little Buffy Summers on my Kingsguard.
Nice.
Because I think the Slayer's got some serious chops with her fighting skills and her strength. I also just think that she'd be a cool person to hang around with because, again, I think that I would like to like my Kingsguard people and want to hang with them because they're going to be around a lot. I think that she's a loyal, smart, incredibly tough fighter, great leader. Mm-hmm. And she was somebody I would want around protecting me.
Would you identify as a Targaryen if you had to be in one of the major houses in Game of Thrones?
I've always sort of waffled on that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Starks are my favorite. I don't necessarily know that I identify with them per mm-hmm. se. I'm such like a bookish person that I always figured, like, not that they allowed women, but like,
sure,
to be in Old Town and be around the Maesters and maybe mm-hmm. the Hightowers, who aren't really relevant in the TV show. I always sort of saw myself as the maybe, you know, the female Sam Tarly kind of thing happening. Like, I'm not really formidable in a physical sense. So
I just thought it was very interesting that you picked a dragon and then you picked another blonde lady. And I just had this image of you in like the blue Dany dress standing atop the Iron Throne.
The Targaryens are pretty cool and I wouldn't mind necessarily identifying, but they've also
tough
got
house
some,
to be a part of though.
I was going to say that they've got some drawbacks.
How much do you want to marry your brother?
Not particularly.
What's John, like her nephew, something like that?
Nephew. The blood relationships aside, the flip a coin, because you never know what kind of targ you're going to get.
Truly,
at a certain point.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of pretty crazy ones, but there's a lot of really cool ones. It would be definitely like, who wouldn't want to be the mother of dragons?
Yeah.
In terms of titles go. Anyway.
Yeah, very good title. My non-Song of Ice and Fire character, I did make a comic book choice because I had to.
This makes sense.
I picked a character who I think I've put on several teams before here on the podcast, who I love deeply. I picked the second Batgirl, Cassandra Cain.
Cool.
She's the one who's going to be in the Birds of Prey movie. She is a mute assassin who was raised by Lady Shiva, who is the best lady assassin in the DC universe. Fight me, it's not Talia al Ghul. And what I like about Cassandra is she's very singular. She's very focused and she's very dedicated, which are traits that I've tried to pick for a lot of my former choices on the list. I also enjoy the fact that I could have a character who could be seen as differently abled because she wasn't able to speak for a really long time and they waffle back and forth on whether or not that is a thing in the continuity. Her classic Batgirl costume is basically like the Catwoman suit with the stitches on it, except mm-hmm. it fully covers the eyes and the mouth. So I could use her as my spy master, which I think would be very useful.
Very cool. Mm-hmm.
And truly, if she could put up with being a member of the Bat family, she's going to do just fine in Westeros mm-hmm. because Gotham is an ungodly hellhole. And she's my favorite Batgirl. She's one of my favorite characters of all time. So if I could just make an arbitrary choice, she's always one of the first characters that came to mind.
Nice.
And like I said, I wanted to pick female characters, and then my wild card's going to be a male, so I picked her over Tim Drake for that reason. So we're going to move into our last category, which in the grand tradition can truly be as many people as you want,
mm-hmm.
a wild card. So Rachel, who did you decide for no reason whatsoever that you wanted to be on your team?
Well, this ended up being the... Well, I chose somebody else for one of the other categories, mm-hmm. so they're going to go down here. And I also, when we counted up the categories, traditionally a Kingsguard has 7 members. Mm-hmm. There are sort of magic numbers or important numbers to Martin, and 7 is definitely one of them. It pops up all the time in the stories. So I was like, okay, that's my justification for having 2 wild cards.
Nice.
So that I can have 7 Kingsguard members. One of them is... she could have been in another category, but like she's one of my favorite characters in the story, so I can't not have her on my team, and that's Bran of Tarth. She's just too good of a character. She in a lot of ways, as somebody I almost chose in my non GOT category was Eowyn from Lord of the Rings.
I also considered
Eowyn. She was definitely on the short list. And Brienne very much reminds me of her in a Martin-esque way.
It's definitely that same literary tradition.
Yes, 100%. And Gwendolyn Christie just knocks it out of the park in the show. And she's just such an amazingly resilient and loyal and persistent character despite horrific things happening to her left and right.
Persistent, like, is a very good word for Brienne.
Anybody else in her situation would give up a million times, and she never does. And that's just such an amazing character to follow and be with. And I love the loyalty to the Stark women, and like I've said before, her and Jaime's relationship and how they see the best in each other when they don't see the best in themselves is just such a great mirror relationship and such an interesting way to view people that you initially have an opinion about, and then it changes over time because you get to know them. And then she's just a badass fighter. I mean, and formidable in so many ways. So
I mean, she could literally crush people.
Yeah.
So
I couldn't have this team without her. There's no way.
Who's your second wild card?
My second one is, oh my God, I have two written down, so I have to decide which one. And it's really hard. I'm actually going to go with somebody that could have fit into, I'm sticking to Game of Thrones characters here.
Cool.
That could have fit into the non-knight category, and he almost won that one. Oberyn Martell, the Red Viper.
I love Oberyn.
He is another example. He's very cool in the books. He is. Like, his backstory is just amazing. So well traveled and learned, and you know, got links on his chain in the Citadel. Was over in Essos, and is just so well rounded and worldly, and yet like one of the best fighters. And Pedro Pascal in the show just brought him to life in a way that I was like, this is perfect.
He's truly the only reason I'm going to watch that Star Wars show, because he's awesome.
He is incredible. And I love, he has a sort of alternative fighting style. He's not afraid to play with poison. And you know what? Sometimes you need that.
That's
in your Queensguard.
Need a spymaster.
Yeah. And you know, he looks like a dancer with his spear and the way that he fights, and that fight against the mountain was, I thought, really well executed in the show and really cool. He got a little cocky there, lost his eyes. Hopefully, if he's on my Queen's Guard, he's not
sighted.
I mean, I am picking people that he's died in the show, so I'm bringing them back to life to be my Queen's Guard, I guess. So hopefully, they've learned from those experiences.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
but I think he's just like a cool alternative type of fighter to me.
Nice. Mine is a real life person. Because in Kingsguards and Queensguards, people always put their best friend on there. They always put the person on there who compliments them and who does the things that they don't want to do. So I put my podcast co-host Jason Inman on my Queensguard. Also because Jason was in the army. So I know that he can get down for some real crazy stuff. I know he's very capable. He's truly one of the only reasons I'm still alive in Los Angeles and not homeless. So if there's anybody that I trust to be my hand and to do everything that I need and to have my best interests in mind, and if Ygritte needs a good punch to the side of the head to keep her in line, I think Jason's going to be the person to do that. That's a horrible joke. I'm so sorry, guys. So I had to go. I definitely had to go with Jason, also because maybe if he listens to this episode, he'll get a laugh out of that.
I think he will.
So I'm going to go back and recap, and then I'm going to ask Rachel too. My Queensguard is Stefan Darklyn, Ygritte, Lyanna Mormont, Grey Wind, Cassandra Cain, and Jason Inman for an unlucky number six members to protect me against the Seven Kingdoms. Rachel, run us down on your Queensguard.
I'm going with Sir Arthur Dayne, Jon Kildark, Brandon Stark, a dragon, preferably Vhagar.
A dragon.
Buffy Summers, Brienne of Tarth, and Oberyn Martell.
What a cool list. I didn't think we would have any crossover, and we didn't, except we both almost picked Arya.
Yeah, I think we both did the thing where it was, there are very obvious choices to be made in almost all of these, but like, it's such a deep world of characters and possibilities. Mm-hmm. And we're both really big nerds. So we really dug in there and found some cool choices.
I know. We could do it again and just do like Age of Heroes. Or so maybe we'll do that when the six other shows go on the air. Rachel, if people liked your Queensguard, if they think you're generally amazing, where can they find you on social media and share their thoughts with you?
Please come at me on Twitter and Instagram at Rachel J. Cushing. I am always up for Game of Thrones talk. And we are really ramping up. And if I can put a little plug in, Ken Knapsack is doing a new Game of Thrones podcast called Casterly Talk, and Lon Harris and myself will be guest appearing on that as frequently as possible. We've already put one episode out with talk about the prequel and our anticipation for season 8. So if you want to check that out, that's Casterly Talk.
Nice. And we're hopefully going to have Rachel stick around for our Geek History Lesson Extra podcast, which you can find over at patreon.com/Jawin. That's Jawiin, where we're going to be talking about what we would like to see in a Game of Thrones spin-off show. And thank you so much for listening to this episode of Geek History Lesson. If you liked this episode and would like to see us go make more, if you would head on over to Apple Podcasts or iTunes and give us a 5-star review, that would make us so happy, and you might hear yourself shouted out in the honor roll section of our podcast. You can find this podcast all over the internet and request cool episodes like our Kingsguard if you go to www.geekhistorylesson.com, facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, or on Twitter at @GHLpodcast. There is a whole bunch of ways to contact us in all of those places. If you do want to request an episode, please be sure to tag the official podcast account, because if you don't, then we might get lost in the fray, and that would make everyone super, super sad. You can follow me on Twitter at Ashley B. Robinson. You can follow my usual co-host Jason on Twitter at Jawin, Jawiin. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you at the next Westerosi wedding.